think firstly, I just want to indicate we distributed the program yesterday, and I think there still needs to amend. So I'm going to really request members to still pay attention to what I'm proposing in terms of scheme. This is in line of with us having to deal with a hub that is currently not there in terms of their budget process. So I have to make sure that it's there. At the time, we did not have any. When I received the letter, that's when I thought that we need to give an indication. For next week, everything remains the same on the 21st. It will be brought back in FRACO, briefing, CETA briefing, and CENTEC briefing. Then on the 28th, we had intended to adopt a program. The report, budget vote report, will move it. It moves to the 12th. Of May, and then I'll come back to the date of the 28th. That's on the briefing on ICT policy review. We'll have to move that on that slot on the 5th of May. It will be presentation on that for APP and their general strategies. So that on the 12th, we have that presentation. And then proposal to remove the joint meeting on the host to communicate so that it is replaced by the briefing on ICT policy review and SOE rationalization discussion, meaning that that will be on the 19th of May. And then we'll have a budget vote debate of the Department of Telecommunications, which is Rule 32, on the 21st of May in the Old Assembly Chamber. The briefing by initial update of the matter remains because it's very important currently dealing with the issue, and I think when we get to the discussion this afternoon, members will realize that that is still important for us to get because of the current status of their budgets and all that. Briefing by the department and all role players involved in the delivery of 100% broadband on the 9th still remained, and the proposed 23rd to 29 June in terms of the override. As a proposal, now I'm bringing again, to move the briefing by SIU together with the state of DBI to the 28th of April. So that we take that this week in progress. We met SIU earlier last year when we started. And there was commitments that they had made that would deal with the issues of the investigation. And I'm a bit worried that we don't seem to be seeing any much progress. So that's what is being proposed. I don't know if members have picked that, what I'm putting in these issues. Maybe let me just repeat. 21st April remains the same. On the 28th of April, we'll have a briefing by SIU on their investigations in both the department and all entities that are affected. And then later we have just a briefing by DVI on their status. State of the organization. That will be on the 28th of April. On the 5th of May, we'll have presentation by SACO on their annual performance plan and strategic plan and turnaround strategies. If they combine that, but we just want to have a sense, because remember we are supposed to have that presentation earlier, and our oversight was cancelled, so we couldn't. So we need to have, and based on the indication that their turnaround strategy needs to be incorporated into their annual plans, it's very important to combine it together. And then, saying on the 12th of May, we'll get a presentation and adoption of the committee report relating to the budget vote. Then on the 19th of May, it will be briefing on ICT policy review recommendations and implementation plan by the department and panel members, and also discussion on SOE rationalization. That will be on the 19th. On the 21st remains budget vote debate of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. On the 26th of May, we will be discussing on the update on the status of the merger in terms of INEC wages, legally, and all those things. organized. I think there's a slot on 12th June that's vacant. Okay. And then we have the 9th of June, given by the department and all role players involved, in the delivery of 100% air broadband. Now, with that, meaning that we have a slot of the 2nd of June, somehow I missed the 21st to 29th lanes. Do you allow me to go and pick up on the issues that we have asked to go into the program? Okay, Honourable Mission, you've got something.
Chair, can we not have an update on the DDT? Because, I mean, that's the week before the analog switch off, and I think the program is still in some confusion.
Remember, we have agreed that on digital migration we have joint meetings. So we'll put it as a joint meeting and we'll start the process. Okay. So that's fine. I think that's what it is. I remember that that's what we have. So that's what we have as the program now, members. I just thought to be able to respond to what we have. Any Yahweh, shall we get adopted? Move out the adoption of the program. Honorable Mackenzie, Shakoda, Honorable Totis. Now, another internal letter that we quickly need to get out of the way is the report on the oversight, members. I know that we had discussions, just needed adopted, and move out for the adoption. Honorable, okay.
Chairperson, just some sort of typographical errors. Will it be captured and revised before it's published on the ATC? Because so content-wise, there's not an issue, but just a concern that I wanted to express.
Is it possible for you to give us so that we can you don't have to go through them now? If you can just, and then I'll get them to amend them and check them before ATC.
Yeah. If I may submit to Ajira.
Yeah.
I just made some comments.
Okay.
Where I think it needs to be adjusted.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Todd, is move for adoption. Second up.
Chairperson, I don't know how to deal with this matter. Clearly, I don't have a problem because I must take it that this was what has transpired during the discussion. The reason my name is not mentioned under apologies is probably because I'm an alternate member. Because remember, I was during that time serving on the subcommittee on the rules review. But I don't mind that my name is not there. I just wanted to make it clear why I was not there, firstly. And secondly, I don't know how that we should deal with this, because the three members who were there should now actually, two of them should actually approve, because they must deal with the content. I can deal with some typographical errors or whatever, but they must actually deal with the content.
No, it's fine. I think it's correct that it needs to reflect your name properly, included there, because you have submitted an apology form. I think Hadira knows, but there are two members who were there, so we have to adopt it. Then we move to, let's move to the meeting members quickly. Minutes of the 3rd of March 2015, the 18th chairperson was Honourable to defeat. So I will start with correction from page 1. Correction on page 2. I hope members received and looked at them. Correction on page 2. Correction on page 3. Correction on page 4. Then page 5 is a sentence there, correction. I don't think. Mover for the adoption of the minutes. Honorable Jean, seconder. Honorable Maseko. Are there any matters arising on this one, members? No. Okay, minutes adopted for the third. Meeting of the 17th of March, quickly in terms of corrections, page 1, page 2,
page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. No corrections. Mover for action of the minutes. Honorable Deputy Seconder. Honorable Shin was there, seconded. Okay, matters arising. Honorable Shin, you want to?
Yes, Chair, I haven't raised this before, but it's now beginning to cause me some concern with these minutes, is that we have at the end committee resolutions. Now, most of the times I agree with the action steps that you're taking, but these resolutions are never discussed. They are not put before the committee for adoption. And I assume that either the decisions of the AFI study group or yourself, Chair, but they really are not, you know, suddenly I find a press release going out saying the committee was happy with something, when actually I definitely was not. And had it actually been put to vote, I would have voted against it. But it would have arranged as such in this point. And so I would like, please, that if we are going to put forward resolutions or action steps, I think that's a very good idea. But can we please actually discuss what we're going to resolve on? Thank you.
Just clarify how they come up with this. What I don't know whether it can call for resolution. Normally, during towards the end of the meeting, I would possibly say this is how we would deal with it. Would request this list of this list of this, so that it's easy for the department to be able to follow, but as well for the committee. For example, if you look at page 7, where it says committee resolution, the committee will invite National Treasury to clarify information in respect of five fiscal dumping. This was raised. So what they do, when members raise a debate, they pick up issues that we are saying, this is what needs to happen. So it's easy for the friends, for both themselves and the department to be able to follow up. I think maybe we'll have to deal with that. I think let's find a mechanism how we deal with it so that everybody is happy about it. But it's normally not something that is out there. It's what they pick up from, what Nigeria will pick up from the minutes and out, either correct, you know, this is how it was based. This is what we want action. So for action purposes for us to be able to follow.
There's a lot of discussion going on. You know, we might be able to add more resolutions. You know, what was the criteria that you chose for those three, just to say, on this occasion? You know, how did you decide that those three were more important than any of the others that we discussed? Let me just have a further discussion on how to do this.
Yeah, I think let's have a further discussion on how we craft them and how we do. Okay, let's move to business of the issue of the resolutions.
I'm not sure, but I would have thought that as a committee would make recommendations rather than resolutions. So then we have committee recommendations. And then on our agenda, we should have a standard item on the committee recommendation just to follow up if to where those issues that you recommended are. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's the format we have to correct it and find better ways of using that will help. Just to start with this term's business, we are going to receive first a presentation from Shasa, and then we'll receive a presentation from Nimusa. I think, members, it's important for me to firstly start by indicating there's amendments to USASA's presentation. I received a written explanation from USASA, which I've circulated to all members, that if you look at the issue, and I have accepted the explanation, if you look at the appropriation bill, Treasury or the Minister of Finance have allocated an amount of 196 as project management, which later you also received a letter which is sent to honorable members. That explains that money needs to go to, as well as post office distribution costs and all that, which meant that it affected the annual performance plan from USASA. So following that, they had amended the presentations and they've amended the performance plan. But I think they will speak to it. I just wanted to highlight that when they sent to me, I looked at it, it make sense, Minister, that we accept this. I don't think it's their doing. I've gone to verify and I saw on the on their annual on their appropriation bill. It's but the second thing is that last night around 11:30, almost towards midnight, I received an email, a letter that made allegations against the board chairperson. It has nothing to do with today's proceeding. But I think I need to clearly set out the issues here. The letter that came through to me, or an email that came through to me, to was hoping to members of the opposition, they would have seen it. That makes allegations against the chairperson of USASA saying that she's got a fake qualification, a PA degree that does not exist, that she has stated on her records as from Fort Hare University. Following that, I forwarded the email through to, I didn't have the direct email of Mrs. Kadeva, I forwarded to the CEO for them to know. Lodi Minister, that they are not an appointing body to start with as the committee. And I think it had nothing to do with us because there was no misrepresentation before Parliament, you know, the committee in terms of Mrs. Hardin. But I think I need to report to members that she has since responded herself and forwarded the proof of qualification, which I received today. So I sent it yesterday. They sent and forwarded the qualification. Which I think the individual went and checked under her table, but as the qualification was achieved, the judge with the maiden name. What was strange about this, and the reason why I'm reporting members, is that the email specifically, and I've responded myself as well to the email. The email, the individual has decided specifically to target and mention that this entity is dealing with the digital migration project. And I want to have said it in the email to the individual to say, I hope this is not part of the public space on the digital migration, because I would hate a point where somebody outside sits and utilizes Parliament and committee for battlefields or who gets the sort of policy. And that I've said it in the email. I think I copied those colleagues who are copied on the email. Just to say, why we appreciate people taking interest in what we do and what, but I find it difficult when somebody makes allegations without thorough information, without, because it's a waste of my time as well, to have to respond to emails and deal with something like this. But the issue is I hope that, and this is the message I sent to the individual to say, Parliament is an institution that is very serious, and we take matters very seriously. Make allegations against an individual, it's a serious issue. And I hope Mrs. Khadebe will take the matter forward legally, because it's affecting her integrity. It's something that I just felt that it was just wrong. Because if somebody wanted information, they could have just emailed to her and asked, we are picking up that you do not have correct qualification, we have received the feedback. I'm just feeling that it shouldn't be consumed as Parliament by things that do not necessitate. But I'm just hoping that it's a message to everybody. If we are battled by the private sector capital on issues, it shouldn't be taken to us. It has nothing to do with us. So that's the issue. I really felt that it's something that I do not want for us to be utilized. I felt people should not use the committee, nor myself or members wrongly. It's correct if people are worried about something, but at least do some sense of homework. And you must be sure about what you are making as allegations, not than just make. Because it didn't even take 30 minutes or an hour for the proof to be emailed to me. So that's the issue. And I will mention that I noted your hand up.
Thank you, Chairperson, and yes, indeed, I am also in receipt of that email, which I treat with some circumspection. I wonder if you could possibly email confidentially the qualification to myself and Honourable Shin as well, just to put this matter to rest. I appreciate that. Thank you.
With the permission of the Chair, she doesn't have a problem with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just worried about this issue you have proved, you have said, and now Honourable McKenzie wants a copy of this. We are not copied. And so we are at a disadvantage. But also, it sounds very vicious. And I agree with you that Mrs. Hadden should go on for legal steps. You know, because it's really questioning her integrity and her standing. So I would support that. But also, I think the department itself should go down. I mean, fortunately, this communication, telecommunication, to get that person, and also DC must be instituted against that particular person, not your class.
External person. It's an external person. But I don't think there's an... I'll go at the issues. For me, the reason why I'm communicating this is important for us to clear a name of a person, because this would have said, I would have got the explanation and members of the opposition would have just got, but it's something that can carry over and all that. But that's what I thought it's important for me to flag, because I would hate a situation whereby we are used wrongly as a committee members of parliament. People must understand our responsibility and our role, and must understand how we take our work seriously. But that's what I thought in the email. I would make sure that members of the entire committee do have it. Because I really explained in detail. Because one thing that struck, what strikes me out of it is that out of the whole mandate of USASA, specific mention is DT. DT is a project, Minister. USASA has a mandate. So surely if you raise issue, you could have raised, say, with the mandate of USASA, which is 1, 2, 3. Not to say with the mandate of delivering set-top boxes to the level of whatever the amount billion, we should be worried. That's where I picked it up. But that's why I thought it's important, colleagues, so that before we start, and I put it to 10% of you, somebody didn't allege you that I would do this. But I felt it's important for me to clarify this, because I did have feedback from you, and I did write back to the individual who wrote to me. I will definitely write forward to members so that everybody is on the same page. But it's important for us to clarify, especially if people can leave under the impression that somebody has done something wrong. It's important for us to sort of clarify that. But as well, the issue of even questioning somebody's integrity is something serious. So that's why I took it. And especially if somebody sends it. But at some point, the image indicates if people are supporting Honorable Kudai with the inquiry. I'm not doing an inquiry. And I'm not looking for any support. Because that's what the nature was. And it's relevant to the work of the Committee of Communication, which has a different mandate with its institution of SAPs, because they're the appointing authority. But I will forward all the documents and everything to the members so that they can be able to satisfy themselves with that. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do appreciate that, and to the Ms. Kumula, thanks very much. Parliamentary privilege does give us a lot of leeway when it comes to an individual's reputation. It's important to safeguard that, so thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, members. Let's proceed to the presentation by USASA.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, as well as the Honourable Minister. I'm emotionally touched. I must apologize in advance. If the people was to affect me this way, I must tell them that I've succeeded. I did spend a number of difficult years at work here, and I graduated and I received my degree in April 1973, but I've got proof for all that. They just needed to ask me my maiden name, and I would have given it to them. I'm almost 60 years old, and I'm not using this platform, but I'm just mentioning that I'm almost 60 years old, and I don't think I've got time. I've got my name to protect until I die. I can't afford to have small boys playing, because some of their handlers are in the room. They're here to listen to what is being said about things they know that they should be discussed
take questions in terms of failing to do my job. I'm fairly open to be questioned and be corrected and be chastised for failing to do my job. But to be questioned about the number of years that I've spent at university using my parents' money, it was very difficult during the time of the struggle. Thank you, Chair, for this opportunity. Representing to yourself, honorable members, the SASA strategic plan as well as the SASA APP. At the same time, we'll be presenting to yourselves the USAF strategic plan as well as the USAF APP. We always make ourselves available hereafter, honorable members, to take any field questions that may arise as a result of the presentation that we'll be making as well as the comments that you have presented to yourselves. In addition to that, Chairperson, during the presentation of the department earlier, there were certain issues that were raised in relation to TT-related matters or STD-related matters. And I want to believe that we here, as you said, we should be in a position to field questions in relation to that as far as we can answer those questions. So I would request the CEO as well as our head of our executive of operations to take us through the plans that have been approved and have been presented to yourself for approval this afternoon. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, thank you, Minister. As the Chair has alluded, we are presenting today the APP for both the SASA and USAF. In the table of contents, Chair, we'll be looking at the mission, vision, the values. We'll be looking at the policy drivers. We'll be looking at our regional strategy. We'll be looking at the SASA 5-year plan, the common challenges for the organization. We'll also look at the USAF project, the broadband, the school connectivity, and the digital migration project. And we'll also look at the risks that comes in the organization's face. In terms of the vision, Chair, our vision remains the same. It's a very simple vision. It's a vision that says we want to provide the universal service and access to ICT for all people in South Africa. Our special emphasis is on those people that are living in rural areas that does not necessarily have the same type of service and access that me and you has. Our mission is covered by the EDA, which is to facilitate the rollout of adequate information and communication technology infrastructure and enable universal access in unserviced area. That is the most important way. The Minister has a very beautiful way of describing that SASA is the in-betweener, is a bridge in between. And that's basically what we do. But largely, Chair, there was a discussion earlier on about some of the incentives that are being given to private sector for private sector to roll out network. This is exactly what SASA does. The money that is sitting in USAF is used to incentivize network operators that would not ordinarily go to areas where it's not profitable. And we use the budget to exceed it. We have done exactly the same thing in Mtinga. We've done the same thing in Northwest and Northern Cape, and we'll be doing the same thing in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. Our values here are set up around the Patupeji, which means it is our responsibility to make sure that our people are happy. It is our responsibility to make sure that the needs of our people are catered for. It is our responsibility to make sure that the services that they are not getting, we take it to them, and they do get the type of service that they get. All this work we have to do with integrity, and this is in the type of work and effort that we put in ensuring that we get nothing but aid in audits. We are accountants, but we are institution. We account to the ministry. We have our aims in ensuring that every cent that has been allocated to us has been accounted for. In the process, we become very innovative. We look and familiarize ourselves with things that are happening around us, technology-wise, policy-wise. We have to be transparent and open at all the times, and we work as a team. Chair, we derive our mandate from the Constitution itself. We derive our administrative mandate from the Public Finance Management Act because we are a Schedule 3A company, and we are driven on a daily basis by the Economic Communications Act. We strive to promote goal of universal access and services. We strive to ensure that we foster adoption for the new use of methods and ensure that we attain universal access and services for all. Still on the policy mandate, Chair, we are driven by the principles of the ADP, where MP is very specific in terms of the implementation of an integrated strategy for the country. The NDP, supported by the South Africa Connect, is very clear in terms of us ensuring that by 2020 we achieve 100% broadband rollout and penetration. By 2030, the deployment of full range of government, education, and information services is done. This is what drives us. This is what we strive for, and this is what makes us on a daily basis chairperson to wake up and make sure that we strive towards that. The new growth path is our driver. Creation, job creation is very important to us. And this is why chairperson, when we do work with mostly previously disadvantaged organizations, previously disadvantaged companies. Just to make sure that we assist them in growing their businesses, we assist in sharing the economy of this country and making sure that they participate in the mainstream of our economy. We are expanding access to communication technology. We say that we are aiming for 100% access on digital ICT to all South Africans by 2020. This is in science, chairperson, in the South Africa Connect policy. The policy mandates a medium-term strategic framework. In the next 5 years, medium-term strategic framework, the creation of more jobs, rural development, education, health, and 5G. You will see, as I present, the work that we have done with education and the work that we are doing with health. But we are particularly happy with health because of the impact that we are making that facilitates and makes it easy for rollout of the national health insurance. It is further indicated in the priorities that there is a need to relocate expand access to and use of ICT infrastructure, as indicated here. We want to make sure that we invest on a comprehensive way to expand broadband access throughout the country. That is why our focus is ensuring that we target those areas that are defined as underserviced areas. Areas where you literally find only 2G with people not having access basically to data. We support the development of free Wi-Fi areas in cities and towns and rural areas. Change is the policy that is driving us, which is the South Africa Connect policy. We subscribe to the target that has been set. We are committed to make sure that we work with all the role players that are involved here, led by the department itself, on ensuring that the particular targets that are set out by the policy are achieved. Chair, ISASA did a turnaround strategy 2 years ago, and the turnaround strategy basically moved the organization from where it was and the focus that it used to have in the past to link it and align it to what the EA is saying. That is why, Chair, if you look now, policies and I mean projects that we are doing are projects that you find exactly on Section 88 of the Universal of the Electronic Communication Act. But basically, the number of projects, programs that are talking to what the South Africa Connect is saying. If you look at the first program, it talks about the community and institutional broadband access, the international based mobile telephony, and the ICT training and facility. This is the program that the department together with USASA and CETA is working on. And this, under the banner of South Africa Connect, gives you what the department calls a digital development, which is a program that is going to assist us in ensuring that we achieve what we're supposed to achieve. So it goes on to talk about the ICT content and appliance applications. It is important for us, Chair, not to forget that when we're talking about applications, there are people that does not have access to the ICT services that me and you have. You still have people that are blind, you still have people that are deaf, that cannot ordinarily access a cell phone, or that cannot tell them all those things. It is our responsibility to make sure through these particular programs, to make sure that those doors are open also for those people and they then can be able to live the life that we want. In terms of the strategic goals, Chair, strategic outcome oriented goals, USASA supports the project remain delivery of USASA of the Universal Service Access Fund. We support the establishment of the Center for Excellence for Universal Access Fund, which is what we wanted to do, Chair. We don't want, Chair, when we're looking for information to be going outside to look for it. We must be able to have some center of excellence in the organization that is informed by the research that we have done. Research would point to us that there are countries already when we are only talking about broadband now, when we are only talking about 4G, there are countries that are talking about that are already migrating to 5G. And South Korea is one of those countries. We need to have the center of excellence. We need to have that information already at our fingertips because it is the information that is going to assist us to plan better. It is the information that is going to assist us to make decisions on where we're taking our country. under infrastructure, the current under service areas connected through affordable, available, sustainable qualitative broadband areas. We do have a list of other service areas. They're still there. They're still under service. There is a 3A program now that is driven by government. The president made announcements and pronouncements that were supported by the minister that the 8 district areas that in the rural areas that we're going to be focusing on, we are ready and we're committed to make sure that we approach that program in a very collective way and make sure that we take connectivity to those parts of the area so that people in our rural areas also gain the same type of access that we also have. So in terms of our strategic implementation plan, because of the where the entity was before, the entity was not aligned. The type of skills that we had were not the type of skills that we wanted in the organization, and that is why the agency was doing things that were not in line with what the policy was saying. The national strategy that we developed, the turnaround plan that we developed, aligned our operations. We then therefore needed also to align ourselves and make sure that we've got proper structure, we've got proper skills, we've got proper competencies, we've got proper people that are able to take us forward. We therefore started a project called organizational development. It ends right at the day end. The organizational development project, it helped us, first and foremost, to benchmark UAE, funds that are in Africa, funds also in the country, how they work, how are they structured, what resources do they have, what skills do they have. We then came back to the organization and said, for us to be able to achieve this particular mandate, how should we structure ourselves? We are at a stage, Chair, where we are rolling out where we will be doing the skills matching, where we are saying this particular person is matching in this particular position, and we're hoping to finish this particular project by June this year. It is important to say that our systems availability are available at least 98% of all times. If you're using your system, you're lying by a technology organization. We can't be a technology organization that does not have a reliable system in itself. There was a time when we got a qualification from the Auditor General because we did not have our business process automated. Most of the work that we were doing was manual. We have put up a business case, we have put up a request through to the department, and the department was very helpful in assisting National Treasury to grant us funding for us to be able to implement the ERP solution. We are at a stage here where we're just waiting for the next board meeting to sit, and then we will then approve a suitable qualified service provider that will implement ERP. Now, ERP is going to assist our financial position. Is that it is going to help us with financial management, it's going to help us with budget management, it is going to help us with logistics, it's also going to help us with the changing of contracts and all that. It is also going to assist us on the human resources side and the logistics side. But the last thing about it is that as a person, you are able to get the report and the performance of the organization. The last thing about the chain is that our processes, we've defined processes, we've defined the chain, we defined value chains and they've been documented, and all these have now are now going to be plugged into this particular system. The last one under the financial side before on the legal side is just to make sure that we provide legal advice within 7 days. The type of work that we do and the nature of our business chain, we depend on contracts. There was a time when this turnaround time was not as good as it was supposed to be. With capacity that the unit, we are able to respond to issues that are technical, legal technical, much more quicker. And all the contracts and the work that we do, we've got contracts now. We subscribe to the accurate financial statements and make sure we ensure that we comply with financial regulations at all times. And this also is reflected on the amount of time that we spend on reflecting on the work that we do, and the money that we spend, how that money was spent, who did we spend the money with, what processes did we follow for us to be able to spend that money. And it is also reflected on the type of report that we got from the Auditor General. We are committed to making sure that 8% of our sub-procurement is going to the bigger city's advantage. It is our important, it is our intention to make sure that the governance side of the business is done and it is done and is recorded properly because National Treasury is very firm on it. So in terms of performance monitoring, there are performance monitoring tools that are in the organization. We've got the performance management policy, performance management system, performance management measure, and performance management contracts that are done on a quarterly basis. In terms of internal audit, we are going to be having 25 audits planned for a financial year. Every quarter, we've got about five or six audits that are specifically targeted. We've got an audit that is focusing on the human resource side, payroll, leave, and then also have audits that are focusing on supply chain, both on the above threshold and the below threshold. Chair, we are doing this on a quarterly basis on my insistence because we want to make sure that the controls are there, the controls are working, and they are tested. Every 3 weeks, Chair, I have a meeting with the internal audit people together with the Auditor General where we reflect on issues that the Auditor General had written about in his management letter and making sure that that will go up. Just last week, I had a team going out to do the sign-offs of the projects that we're doing in Kimberley and Jomorolong. I mean, in Kimberley and in Rasong in the Northwest. This week, I've requested the internal audit team to go out and verify whether that work that the team is claiming to have done, that work has been done. After they come, the chairperson said, I'm expecting the Auditor General to do the same. So that the Auditor General, he can say, yes, the work has been done, no, the work has not been done, so that we are then able to put corrective measures in place. In terms of risk, Chair, we have established a risk management unit, and this risk management unit is meeting on a bi-weekly, and we've got a risk assessment workshop. We've got a risk register that has been done. We've got a top 10 risk that has been identified. We've got additional risk, we've got departmental risk that has been done, and all these are monitored on a monthly basis. And on a monthly basis, there's an independent report that comes from the risk unit to the audit committee. We are doing all this, Chair, and we are emphasizing on this because we want to make sure that at the end of the day, we don't provide anything but we get anything as a clean audit. In terms of research, Chair, our information, our work is informed by research. We've resuscitated our research unit. We've resuscitated a research strategy. There's research programs that we are going to be undertaking in this particular year, and those research will be shared with the committee as we do. But it is important for us every second year, as required by the Act, that we advise the minister, amongst others, of the status of the under-service areas in SPD. So we will be going back to the particular work and do that. It's also important to make sure that we focus on the policy framework for people with disability and make sure that we do not leave them outside. We are also going to develop an industry consultation document on universal service and access topic so that we take this issue of universal service and access and put it on the table and we are able to talk about it and come to some conclusion. Some of the challenges that we are facing with insufficient resource for broadband infrastructure. We do realize and acknowledge the fact that there is an allocation that has been made. We think the people that are responsible for making sure that people in the rural areas are connected would have loved for a bigger allocation to be allocated to the department. There are many players, Chair, that are uncoordinated. The department internally is doing a wonderful job in trying to coordinate the entities that are doing that are involved. There is a meeting set up, Chair, by the DG where CEDA, ourselves, the home, broadband, and so sit down and we say who, with the little money that we have, is able to run and who is able to do what, which is quite positive. The high cost of terminal device, again, is a strategy to address that because if we go, for instance, and use the strengths that CETA has, then it becomes easy for us to use the economies of scale to pull the prices of devices down. Infrastructure development and economic development are not high, the poor supply and basic infrastructure not in place, particularly in the ICT. In terms of the resource allocation, these are the resources that we were requiring. We needed 2 telecommunications engineers, already have them. We needed six project managers, we already have 3 project managers. We need a revenue accountant. We need a revenue accountant simply because of the effect of the changes on legislation. The changes on legislation require that ICASA, after they collected the revenue, instead of the revenue going straight to the treasury, it must come through ISASA. We don't want the revenue to pass ISASA until we can account or we know its completeness. Now, for us to be able to prepare for that, then we need a revenue account to be able to assist us with that. The emergency manager support is already in place, but we use people that are already in the organization and we've got the particular people in place. So we are pretty sure with the OT process that we're doing, we would then be able to resolve ourselves accordingly. Now, in terms of the funding that we have, from 2014-2015, when Visasa is 55, 2015-2016, 262. That 262 is 196 million that you alluded to earlier on. This 196 is going to be used for the procurement of the ERP solution and the payment or distribution of the top boxes, either to post office or whoever is going to do the distribution for us. It is our view and our wish that post office does that. Budget estimate is going to be 69 for 2016-17 and 75 for 17-18. In terms of the risk, the term of the office of the board is coming to an end. We are experiencing a leadership vacuum. We are anticipating that the momentum that we are in might be affected with new people coming in, and we are just taking that as a risk. We're not saying any message, we're just taking that as a risk. We are highlighting the fact that with the lack of ERP system, they may lead to lost opportunities in localization. No compliance with laws and regulations, it does happen from time to time that there is non-compliance here and here. But now that we know the processes, now that we know the law, we make sure that ramifications are essential and are implemented. And the lack of technical skills, so we're in the process of building the technical capacity. So the company is reflecting what it is supposed to be. We cannot be a technical organization, Chair, and nobody intended my Chair, and be employing other types of people that are not necessarily technical. Chair, I'm now moving to USAF strategic plan. If you look on the board here, for this financial year, the two broadband sites that we have identified. Now, these broadband sites that we have identified them in terms of Section 88. These are areas that are on the high list of underserviced areas. They are in Albert Luthuli local municipality, in Herzwanda district in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga, and Mutale local municipality in Vembe. These two districts also are on the list of those eight district municipalities that the president made an announcement about. There is a budget of about 28 million rand. This budget will be used for upgrading that network, for upgrading that infrastructure in those particular areas. So the work that we do, we upgrade and we extend the network, we connect at least five schools in each, and we connect at least five clinics. Now, we're making mention of five schools and five clinics, but we know, because we've just done it now, with the negotiations and with the type of skills that we have, instead of going for five, we will push that we get more. That's what we have done. I will show you in the report that comes after. But these are the two areas. The tender has already been out. The tender has already been adjudicated. It is waiting for the board approval. And after the board has approved this, we will start with the work. We are anticipating and we are hoping that by end of the second quarter, this work would have been concluded and this money would have been spent. In terms of the school connectivity, unfortunately, Chair, this financial year we've got 17 million, and that 17 million is going to be used to fund the connectivity of the 180 schools that we have. Remember that we have been connecting schools and we've been paying for their connectivity. Now we've got 180 schools that we have connected, and we've got many other access centers that we have connected that we are still paying connectivity for. For that purpose, we will only be connecting three schools as opposed to many other schools that we wanted to do. But the bulk of the money would go in through to pay the connectivity for the schools that we've already connected and the children that are already using it. Just to make sure that they have to do it. Because remember, the agreement between the department and the Department of Education is that after connecting, we will pay for connectivity for 24 months. In terms of digital migration, 2015-2016, we've got an allocation of 181 million. That has been allocated. The cumulative amount that we're sitting with is 1.6, not the amount. It's 1.6 billion. Now, we have to explain how this money is going to be used. Remember that the budget was based on the qualifying criteria where we were going to subsidize poor TV-owning households with 70%. And the community, the beneficiaries were expected to pay 30%. With the cabinet approval for 100% subsidy, there became a deficit in that we would not then be able to use the budget that we have, the 5.2 million that was spoken about at that time. Now the money has gone down. We've done the calculation, we've submitted the calculation through to the department, we've submitted the deficit calculation through to the Department of Communication, and we've also made a copy, given a copy to the to Minister Treasury. I do know that there is a meeting set up by Treasury tomorrow to discuss the particular deficit and how the deficit can close. But this amount of money, if the project goes out, as we just finalized the appointment of service provider, will be spent in this particular financial year. In terms of the 5-year strategic implementation for USAFA, 2013-2015 we did good broadband project, 2014-2015 we did two, and then 2015-2016 we are also going to be doing two broadband projects as well. In terms of school connectivity, last year, Chair, we did, in fact, with a budget of 30 schools, we did 41 schools. This year, with a budget of 10 schools, we did 18 more. So in essence, the school, conventional schools that we did this financial year, instead of 10, we did 18. And we were able to achieve, I mean, we did 28. We were able to achieve 28 because we were able to negotiate better with the service provider that we're doing current broadband implementation for us. So this year, we got more from them. And that is why I was saying, even in the two areas that we're going to, we're going to squeeze that we get more from those guys. In terms of schools for people with disability, we did 5 in the last financial year, and in this year we're going to do 3. Primary healthcare facility, there was no plan to do primary healthcare facility, but because of our better negotiation skills, we're able to connect 45 clinics, both in Tomorrowland and in Rato in the northwest. Police stations is a new target. We don't have much of the police station as yet, and therefore we're not going to be doing much in there. The 5-year funding model, it's there, Chair, I've spoken about it earlier on. The biggest portion of our cost there, of our budget there, as we enter 2014 in our DTT, and then 2017 the same amount, but you can see that our biggest portion of our budget is DTT. At least now, Chair, we will then be able to start using that money in the conclusion of the tendering process, the finalization of the contract, the finalization of negotiations on prices and all that. We'll then be able to start using the money. So you will see traction where that's concerned. There are risks that goes with the uptake and usage of the digital broadcasting services, Chair. The ability to ensure quality and cost-competitive broadband system services. Potential for code action in the BDM project will be present by a number of people, particularly by those that thought that they are entitled to this particular project, and this particular project should be given to them. So if they were not getting it, there was a threat that could be taken to court, but thanks God, they are in. Other sustainable high impact end-to-end ICT solution to close access gaps. Those are some of the risks, Chair, that we have identified. In terms of the conclusion, USAFA's mandate has been brought in with the asset policy development, notably the NDP and SPASCA Connect. The organizational development to realign the organization is very effective and it is underway in the organization. We have improved governance and accountability for both USAFA and USAF, and that is why we are not thinking about anything less than other than 18 audit. The limited budget that we have in the organization, it limits our ability to provide adequate support for the delivery of universal services and access. There is a need to accelerate the growth of broadband and ICT connectivity would require to our people. We also need to make sure that we ramp up our budget to what is currently approved by MTF for USASA. And thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm going to note members. Oh, sorry. I think that we had said that in terms of the program that we'll get a presentation from NEMI. But I think let's deal with this one so that we don't have to overlap things and have to manage time. Otherwise, we'll end up overlapping things and not being focused. Let's rather deal with the issues of USASA. Comments, questions? Honorable Mackenzie, Honorable Kieran, Honorable Shin, Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Ms. Just a general comment, just based on this presentation and hearing this presentation. It sounds like this is a fairly new organization. I'm a fairly new MP, but I presume this has been running for several years. And a lot of what I'm hearing here is building blocks, putting building blocks in place to actually get the organization moving to deliver what it should be delivering. And I would have assumed that these building blocks had been in place right at the beginning. That would be my first comment. In terms of the ERP program, it sounded very much like the presenter was talking about SAP. In and out of the presentation, it talks about that the ERP has been implemented, it is in the process of being implemented, in the process of being rolled out. If I can just have clarity that, in fact, the package has been decided on what that page is, and that was indicated that the board would be approving it next month. Just some details on that, how much it costs, and what is the planning. I've had, in my experience, limited experience in government, I've had a fair amount of bad experiences with programs, ERP programs being rolled out that initially cost $250 million and ended up costing $1.2 billion. So I'd just like some information on that, please. In the presentation itself, and I'm sorry, I'm working off the executive summary, on page 17, it says, for the benefit of society, USAP to incentivize the private sector to expand its service delivery to underserviced areas. Could I just get some clarity around that? How you incentivize the private sector to expand that delivery and use your funds for that purpose? There's a comment on page 22 about research papers being produced but not published. How many research papers have you produced, and why haven't they been published? Because part of the objective is to provide information and knowledge on the state of ICT access. So if you have that knowledge, why aren't you sharing it? And in terms of your strategic objectives, if I can draw an analogy, if I'm coming from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and my objective is to get Cape Town, then I say, well, I've put fuel in the tank, and I've put air in the tires, and I've put my cases in the boots, and I've strapped kids in, and we're all ready to go on the journey. And those are half of my performance indicators. I haven't really got anywhere on my journey. And that's what a lot of these performance indicators appear to me to be. For example, implementation of organizational development, that's to me, and it's a very, very vague, on page 27, it's a very vague performance target. Percentage of availability of business systems to support SASA and SAP business processes. 98% uptime on your computers. That's also, in terms of your mandate to connect South Africa, to have uptime on your local systems, would also seem to be very, very nebulous performance indicator. On page 29, you talk about an ERP system rollout and implementation and a GIS system upgrade, network planning and monitoring system rollout. You then go to repeat those three things again as a target for year one. And you talk about the ERP system rollout implemented and maintenance. But you haven't even got, from what I understood from your presentation, you haven't even got to that point yet. Yet you put it in as an indicator. And the GIS system and system upgrade, if you could just give me some clarity where you are. Do you have GIS system installed? What is it, and what sort of upgrade do you have in mind for it, as a performance indicator? On page 31, you talk about virtually going forward from here until 2020, looking for a unqualified audit opinion. And that's great. I mean, that's admirable. performance target. And yet on page 40, you talk about a clean audit. So, you know, what is your target? Is it unqualified audit with the clean audit? A clean audit is a very, very difficult thing to get. So that my colleagues in the Western Cape come and tell me. A lot of your function going forward seems to be around the procurement of set-top boxes and the management of the distribution of set-top boxes. And that almost seems to be the main reason for Usasa's existence at the moment. There doesn't seem to be much else happening, and I'm not sure if that's due to financial constraints, or is your focus for this year going to be the distribution of set-top boxes, assuming that the court action launch this morning is not going to hold that process completely in its tracks again? And if it does, will you then be able to redirect your energies and replan your performance plans for the year ahead? There seems to be an awful lot of meetings going on in the SASA for a fairly limited amount of projects. I mean, 24 board and committee meetings per annum seems to be an awful lot of board meetings. And correct me if I'm wrong, if you could justify why you're having so many board meetings. And in addition to that, at least 12 expo meetings per annum, and you're setting these as performance targets as well.
First round, it's first round.
Sorry, do you want me to stop? All right, Jeff, then I'll stop. I have a whole file, but I will stop.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff, you know, as usually, when you deal with several documents, you cross-reference and in the end you actually lose yourself a little bit. But I just wanted to make sure that I understand. What are the pages, and it could be that it is in the annual performance plan, I'm not 100% sure, or in the presentation. I understood that the issue of the ERP system was that there was a problem. Now, what I read from the letter from National Treasury was that they actually just said, please just make sure that you focus on the reason for the 196 million. And that it was indeed meant for project management, which refers to ERP system following numerous requests from Usasa for such a system. So I just wanted to have clarity on that. Could we just understand that Usasa made out a business case for the ERP that they require, and that consequently Treasury gave the additional requirement for that, which is also then a system to monitor the rollout and to manage the digital migration process. Can I just have clarity about that? The second issue that I want clarity about is, Chairperson, the position of Usasa currently with regards to research. You know, earlier I posed the question to the department about research allocation to the department. And I said I am concerned because it is of critical importance. If we want to reposition South Africa internationally, we all have to work from the same research base. And we have to make sure that whatever is communicated at the International Telecommunications Union is based on very sound research. Now, just a concern, if we are talking about a research unit that is established, is that a primary function of USASA? And not that it is not an important one, because they have a specific element, which is the footprint across South Africa of what is available, etc. So they have particular research. But to what extent do we dovetail this? Because I have a concern that on the one hand we have EPASA, which is supposed to monitor. On the other hand we have the lead department, which is the Department of Telecommunications and Communications the predecessor was fulfilling that role in the past. Now, do they talk to each other so that we don't duplicate, but that we develop very trustworthy figures as far as that is concerned? The concern is that unless we as a country provide figures and facts to institutions such as the ITU, they almost concoct their figures because they then look for other institutions, and we should formalize that. We should make sure that we're all speaking to the same. So what is the role of the Center of Excellence and the research that they want to be conducted from there? Then, Chairperson, the last issue is the current position. I'm a little concerned if we're saying we must manage risks when boards are appointed, incoming and outgoing, etc. All government entities and all agencies have usually go through such a process. If there is a problem that a board vacates office all at once, and that would require an adjustment to legislation, then the institution should inform us about it. Because it's never good to lose everybody at the same time. It's always good to bring in new blood so that there's continuity. But if we could just understand better what are those specific risks, the rest of the questions I will hold back until the other members pose. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I'm going to start off with the presentation document on slide 11. We talk about the 5-year strategy implementation plan, and you have raised partnerships, I presume that you formed partnerships to support this plan, to a value of 1,050 billion over 3 years. Who are the partners? How were they chosen? Was it through an open tender process? And does that value mean that that's the value of money that you will spend with them? I assume that it does. Then on the insufficient resources, now slide 14, common challenges for us to mitigate, insufficient resources for broadband infrastructure. And the CEO mentioned that there were regular meetings going on between the various entities and Telkom to discuss this. I wonder on what basis, and Telkom was chosen to be included in these in-house discussions, and or whether there was some tender process, whether anyone else was asked to contribute to helping ISASA mitigate its broadband infrastructure challenges. Then, sort of clarity on slide, without number, we're going on to the broadband thing. We talked about the two broadband sites you're doing right now, the RP2D one. And there are three projects at the site. One, upgrade or extend networks, two, connect at least 5 schools in each locality, and 3, connect at least 5 clinics. And said a tender had gone out. I wasn't quite sure for which one of those 3 it was, or was it for all of them. You said that you, the tender had been adjudicated and was waiting for board approval. Could I please have some clarity on exactly what was going on? There's obviously a lot of questions about the DET, the broadcast migration. Perhaps I'll go on to that. I think there's more better information in the reports on that. Sorry, bear with me, please. Sorry, I just want to get on to the... It's about the STD subsidy. First of all, was ISASA consulted at all by anyone in Cabinet or the DOC on the fact that we were now no longer going to subsidise the boxes, that we were going to give them away for free? And at that time, you were consulted, was there any discussion as to how this was going to be funded? Because as you so rightly pointed out, you just don't have the money. Now, this is, which one of these documents is this, sorry? This is the strategic plan, page 13. Page 13 of what? What is it? The second part of it. Annual Performance Plan, I beg your pardon. We talk about the target for this year of rolling out the boxes. And you say 4.3% of the 5.2 million boxes to be rolled out this year, and then 14.2 next year, and 6.5 the following year, so over the 3 years. I don't understand that. Can you please explain how many boxes you'll be rolling out over 3 years? Because your plans was before the migration policy was amended, said that you would be rolling out up to 6,100, but that in your first year, and I haven't done the math of what 4.3% of 5.2 million is, but if anyone takes the Northern Cape alone, so I think that is where your first sort of target area is. And obviously if it filters over into the Free State or wherever else, please do advise. But the number of households to be subsidized in the Northern Cape was 124,110. Is that the 4.3? And are you going to roll all of that out this year, or will it only be the area? And then the rest of them, if I could just have some idea of the rollout plan there. Also, can we have a clarity, please, on whether the tenders or the manufacturer of these set boxes has been decided? And if it has, why has there been no public announcement of it? If it hasn't, can we please have some reason for the delay? Thank you, I'll follow up with other questions next round.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think many questions have been asked already. I'll try to skip some that are ahead. And I'm asking on the basis of the previous document, and if it has been responded to, let's be indicated. In as far as the board meetings are concerned, how many board meetings have we held so far? And actually, I mean, as compared to what is supposed to be the situation. And on the set-top boxes, right now, how far the preparation process of implementing the digital migration and set-top boxes, given the money that was set aside for that purpose? And what's the criteria for identifying beneficiaries? And you have stated the term of office for the board coming into and end in September as a risk. How is this a risk? Because you know when someone signs a contract, then at the same time, the contract will come to an end. How has it become a risk? And maybe questions the planning of the board. And I'm trying to skip those again, as Chairperson. And has there been a research conducted by SASA in benchmarking the participation and the use of ICT in areas where it has facilitated and established the ICT infrastructure? And there's money like 2 million that was put aside in the past for research, of course. And research is still continuing. Can we get the sisters call as far as she's concerned? I think many of us have referred to the research plan to change my question. It has been a little strong. And I'll also try to skip other areas that the other members have alluded to concerning the AG's opinion or concerns about the human resource manager suspension that is still ongoing. And in the previous financial year, complex issues were identified in regard to supply chain laws and regulations that were not followed. What is the status quo now? So I have a number of questions, but I think I'm going to repeat what other members have said, even if they didn't have the approach that they have, but the documents that they didn't ask. I'll just end up here.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think colleagues have covered me most of the area. I just want to find out, on the area of broadband, where will we be connecting to connect at least 5 schools in each locality and also 5 clinics in each locality? In the main, there may not be 5 clinics a locality, and yet there would be more than 5 schools a locality. So we need to adjust that to accommodate that. And also where there is that installation of access devices. I think we have heard at some stage of some devices that are being accessed to schools and yet there is no connectivity or there is no Wi-Fi. So it become, especially when it, when you look at rural areas. And okay, the other things I'm correct. I'll come back in.
Just one thing.
I missed one of my catches to use the set-top boxes again, DTT thing. But to the risks in that you said, Ken, you say that to mitigate the risk, public consultation will be conducted by USASA. Marketing of the DTT project will be handled at departmental level. I presume you're talking about the Department of Communications. Thank you.
No, thanks.
Just a small one that I forgot. I'm sorry. It's around the research. I just want to find out if you utilize who the people who does your research. Do you consider using those who are within the agents of other departments, like the HSRC, and instead of going out to private researchers and including for consulting? Thank you, Chair.
Just to clarify the two things that I think it's going to be first, just clarify from the point of return. The issue of the broadband meetings with the Department of Innovation, I think the department needs to answer that, not USASA. Because what they are doing is that they are invited to participate in the meetings. And I think the question was raised in the morning to the department. That was answered. It's the same question you asked, how they dealt with the issue of the channel, whether it took home being decided to the lead and all this. I don't think it's fair, because USASA is a participant. Yeah, it's a participant to the meeting invited by the department. The other one that I need to clarify, members, is the issue on research. If you look at ECA, under the mandate of the agency, the USASA, for example, it's on the chapter 14 of the USASA, section 4. The agency may undertake such investigation into matters relating to its function as it may consider necessary. And the second one is must conduct research into and keep abreast of developments in the Republic and elsewhere on information communication technology, electronic communication services, and electronic communication facilities. I thought it's important for me to clarify that the mandate of research is inside the ECA, based on research. So they can answer the other issues that relate to the research. From my side, CEO, coming to firstly the issue of DTT. And I'm going to just, because I think it's important for us as committee to get clarity on such matters that have been in the public domain, and I think Honorable has touched on some, and other members, I think Honorable should have seen on. But for me, there's been a notion that USASA went ahead in terms of advertising for the tender prior to policy decision. Its impact, if you can just clearly outline what is the situation there. The second issue that has been in the public domain is the issue of standards. But USASA went ahead, issued a tender without standards. Because those are the things that are in the public domain, and I think it's important for the committee to get clarity on. And I hope earlier on, when I stopped Honorable Totesi on matter, you had picked it up. I don't know if Honorable Totesi remembered. There was an issue in terms of your project as you are doing this process of digital migration, for example. The issue of, what was it, SMEs, ne? Yeah, localization and issue of SMEs. I'd ask that we should defer that matter to now in the afternoon. So I think it's more, and I know it's not about the issue. Maybe if our House Honorable Mutin would push them to sort of focusing on TTT more than focusing on other issues. And I think it, for me as well, it needs to I'm a bit worried in terms of how we deal with schools' connectivity, but as well as the issues of broadband. Shouldn't we go to a point where we just talk about, Minister, just connectivity? And then out of that package of connectivity, then we can talk about schools, we can talk about clinics, we can talk about... But it's, because I think that's why you not have the money now to do other more work. Shouldn't we comprehensive? You have a separate training for what it could be maintenance and what is it called? Yeah, the maintenance part, servicing and maintenance. Then under the budget, it's why you look after all the schools and areas that you service, you've connected, then you're servicing them and you're maintaining them. Then under new projects, then you have this rollout. But I think it needs to be clear from where we are sitting, what is it that we're doing? And one assuming, where I'm sitting, I think the model of connecting works better. And after seeing the model, and unfortunately, colleagues were not there when we went to Mzinga. After seeing the model of Mzinga, I think that's what it should be. Because it promotes an integrated, connected community. So you're able to move into community, you see an impact, and you make an impact and get out. While we can see maybe from a point of view of a department, then your service level agreement of the operators then can focus on the schools. Then you can have a separate schools connectivity program. But when it comes to service, then it's packaged as a whole. I'm not so sure if I'm making sense, because currently the way it is, CEO, it gives a bit of discomfort to sit and listen that you're only going to connect and it's fashion. It gives serious discomfort, but if you're to look at other projects, and you are likely to find schools, but again as well, the issue, I think, will come back, Minister, why I'm just adding to that list on the issues of schools connectivity. The discussion around the years of maintenance. You started talking about 24 months. I know with Sanjay is more, then you have others talking about 18 months. What is it? What is the standard? I think I'm just adding to what you had already committed to working on, Minister, in terms of it. I think this is another loophole or discrepancy that exists. And the other issue is, because that's why I'm emphasizing this interlink in terms of it, because it might give an impression that just has put everything aside and therefore it's focused on digital migration. Digital migration is one project. But the other issue is I picked up a member, McKenzie, Honourable Member McKenzie, was talking about the issue of distribution. I think that as well needs to be clarified. Our understanding is that distribution is a post office. So there shouldn't be an overlap of responsibilities that you end up with, that you know what is not within their mandate or what they are supposed to do. And therefore, while post office is already put in place, systems and all that to be able to roll out. So the distribution. So I thought that is important as well. And the issue of the issue of the post, I think as well, just to check, because we've been raising this issue in terms of what we would want to see as a number of boards, so that there's more time in the executive being able to do its work. Noting that USASA has got two entities that board needs to support, USASA and USASA, so you most of the time can, but I think even if you are to look at that, what Honourable McKenzie is raising as well is a bit of a concern. And I think the issue, what I'm pleased to see, is this issue of match and fit program. Because sometimes you find an institution, but I'm not sure whether it's premature, CEO, the issue of match and fit, was on the discussion in terms of repositioning of SOEs. If the department then at the end of the program says this is where you need to be and you have concluded, and maybe your mandate shifts or changes and therefore there's legislation changes. That's as I'm seeing where I'm teaching. What is a good program? Acknowledging that it's good to know whether you have the capacity internal to be able to meet your demand. But the environment, the context of where we are with the SOE rationalization, for me, it's what makes me uncomfortable. Because you conclude a program, then the department says, no, we've rationalized the SOEs. This is what we think SASA should be, then the new legislation, amendment of the, because you can't avoid that with a new government. There's obviously going to be amendments.
both to ECA and all those things, what impact of the image of that process currently we do not know. And that's what I'm a bit concerned about with the timing of that, while I'm mumbling that I note the improvement. And I think the other thing that I'm happy about is clear indicators, which are very specific, not ambiguous. It's easy for us to be able to see and look what is it. Because when we do assessment at the end of the year, looking at performance of the institute, because I know there might be conservative at times certain things, but at least there's numbers, figures that are attached to time frames. But at a quarter, this is how many that would do, if it's meeting, if it's as course, if it's this. Therefore, it's easy for us as summit to be able to gauge against those. So I think that for me is comforting. Sometimes you find a stress plan that you're not so sure whether where it is and what is it that's not really. But I think those are the issues, just a concern around, the could be around how you communicate, how you position yourself, that you are perceived to only be focused on the GT currency. And that I think is important to correct, because the mandate of USASA in terms of the health service and all that. The other thing, I think, the last one, is how does USASA position itself, I think it goes to the issues of research, in terms of the changing environment. Because telephony industries, sectors, times are moving. And it goes to the issues of telecenters. How you respond to the new environment, where more will deal with issues of Wi-Fi, you know, issues of how we connect and all those things, as we do. I think, but as well, because of legislation, there might be difficulties with you, which I think the Minister did, is an issue of when we review legislation to take into consideration the changing environment. I think this is what we said last time when we were interacting with CETA, that the city environment moves fast. Legislation that is 4 or 5 years seems like a very old legislation, whereas in other environments, people can sit with 20 years of legislation and still remain relevant, whereas in this sector, you can't. You've got to constantly, you know, be abreast with issues and change. So those are the comments that I have. I don't know, Minister, you want to respond, or should I allow them to respond to that? Just one thing, okay.
Sorry, I just wanted to make sure, because I also want to come back to the issue of school connectivity, which is a matter that you've also discussed now. Does the limited funds mean that even with the E-rate 50% reduction that USASA has, that it is eating up all the funds, that they must, the bulk of the funding allocation is going towards the maintenance of connectivity of the existing 180 schools. Is that a fact? Because clearly, according to the Amendment Act, that USASA may pay for the school connectivity and may be eligible to utilize a 50% reduction in rates. Now, is that still only limiting their ability to that number of connectivity of schools? Thank you.
The other issue before I forget, this thing of use of funds, revenue minister, I think maybe at some point we are going to have to look at it, the amounts, the process, maybe it might not be now, but I think let me just check it so that it's on the to-do list. That next time we might want to start engaging on that, how we get it to
do. Thanks. I think just starting on the last one, I think the review process also is one of the things that are supposed to look. Whether have we moved up the scale, because of the scale we can move up to, I think it's 1%, up to 1%, currently we are at 0.25. The laws and the policies allow us to go to 1% of the revenues of this government. So I think time has come. We've got systems now, we've got capacity, because at that time it was a question whether do we have capacity to spend on this money. So I think those are the things which will have to come to the fore, because really, as the CEO was saying, and the chair quite put it, DGG is not the main thing in the USASA, it's just a project which are allocated by government. It come and go, but the USASA's mandate, we have to continue to building that in the marginalized areas. Just as an example, last week we had a discussion with disability, people dealing with disability. All that they were asking, they need just a platform or a number where they can encourage people who are disabled. They can just say, here, I'm staying in this area. Then they, as an organization working with social workers, then can contact that person, register them, look at their needs, and so on. This issue of inclusion, it becomes very critical. So the department, through those call centers that she was talking about, and the allocation of numbers, appropriate numbers to different sectors, I think that's what is going to be important, because we cannot marginalize the disabled, we cannot marginalize the rural areas or poor disabled areas anymore. The second point that I just want to raise, I think we are from the department who are fairly, I'm not 100% happy with the performance of users. I think they have all systems which are working. You may claim that there's a small budget, but it's not about that. It's about ensuring that they've got systems, you have got accountability, you've got monitoring, you've got risk management. And those are the fundamentals. I think now they are at the stage where they are looking at performance, which is a stage where we want all our entities to get. I'm also worried about stage. I thought maybe they are putting their targets too low because we can comply by it. But I can assure you that's not the case. We monitor their output. The next thing I just want to comment on, because most of the questions they must answer, is the issue about the boards. I don't think there is any impression that there should be traditional board members. The issue is that when the term of the board members comes to an end, you must start the process early. Because if the term comes and there are no more qualifying, that means we have got dysfunctional boards or people can't meet. It is very important to have a vigilant board to monitor the progress, to monitor the systems and the place, particularly when you are dealing with requirements of this management does the thing that they must account to the board and so on. So that's my reading of it. They've made me aware of it. Let's find the process of making updates so that those who want to reapply the new ones will choose the best. We'll always choose the best other than saying, you know, we should be at the lows of the present. So that was my understanding, Chairperson, because they have alerted me to this. I've said then we must start the processes. We can't wait until August. Because, you know, some of the things they must go through the cabinet processes and get the necessary approval and make sure that the people are ready to carry on the mandate. I don't know if you have comment on those few things. And I thought also you are correct, Chairperson, the issue of calling them with other entities. We said the internationalization program. And my understanding it is an engagement around regionalization. Sorry?
It's not an entity.
Yeah. You put regionalization of the entities. Telkom is not an entity.
I'm talking of this one is the entity. I'm talking about USAS, I'm not talking about Telkom. Sorry, USAS. Must come to those meetings. And we must, I don't know what's the thing about Telkom. we have got an interest in Telkom like you, because it's your company, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. So we are interested. We go to their board meetings and comments. So I don't know what's this thing about it, really. we are the major shareholder. There are other shareholders too. and we respect it. It's a listed company, let's respect it. But the Earth governments do have a responsibility in telecom. We want it to function efficiently as we're able with the progress they're doing from the deterioration which was there a few years ago. But they must compete with others in the market. That's correct. You know, this one I'm saying, we're all doing that. But from the network planning provision point of view, they do have. We can't hide it. That's a fact. They do have extensive infrastructure. And we cannot ignore them for that. But I was saying, USASA, how come? And they do participate. Because, as Shay has been saying, there may be a change of focus on saying what we want USASA now to focus on in this changing environment. And it's correct. And I'm happy now that they are also aligning with the broadband rollout. Some of these programs are interesting that they started even before the broadband policy was finalized. Now they are going at least to the big district where we're also focusing so that there will be an impact. Somebody said I let them go to board meetings, but I don't attend board meetings. I do attend the AGM of the telco, because we are a shareholder. No, I don't attend them. I'm not a board member of telco. If I said so, I would draw that. But we are the shareholder. It's the same thing, not a shareholder. So, that's what we're really encouraging USASA to work with other companies, so that when we come with legislative reform or proposal, we should also take into account of their work. The other key questions with USASA is whether should we have USASA Act. That's what we're working on and looking at that, but we have these things clearly clarified and rules of mandate. But I was listening also shared to the members, most of the questions are about this is about bogies. That's not a core mandate. There may be just allocations now for these boxes because the reasoning was clear. It was how we have the poorer communities and the only agency which was more relevant to that is USASA. But the mandate is not about boxes. It's much beyond broadcasting. It's involving all the things of connectivity. Yes, gentlemen, lovely. We're looking at connectivity. Continuous connectivity is more like ad hoc connectivity we've been following, where it's connecting this time, normal connection that time. And clearly, much as we don't have all the money at the national level, we are engaging the premiers to also say in their own resources, they can, if they can aid to this project, because most of the key government projects are, what they call this, shared competencies with national, like education, health, and so on, but they are really driven at the provincial level. So, I'm the biggest friend of all my premiers now, because we are helping them, they must also contribute. I hope, but they're very spirit. Of coordination and contributing and working together, because now last week we were in Free State with all our entities, and we want to connect, but we want to connect for an EBOS. We just don't want the school to jump at internet to access internet. We want to roll out e-education. And you cannot roll out in the education if you're connecting 50 schools and leaving other 40. You must connect at least the whole district in order for the program of the Department of Education to start kicking in. So that's the approach basically of we are looking at connectivity, reliable connectivity, and that's why we're saying in area one, we have to set up the minimum standards. Even where the volunteering and NGOs and private sector want to contribute. They do want to contribute, and we must welcome. We must welcome those entrepreneurs, business people, who see education a key in changing the situation in South Africa. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. The Minister has dealt with the board issue. It has been flagged because our term ends the 1st of August. Not 1st of September. The 1st of August, we have to be out. So, we thought the committee needed to know, but the Minister has indicated he's on top of it. May I also respond to the issue of board meetings, where the cumulative number of all meetings by committees, by the board, result into 24. May I explain that I only hold 4 board meetings a year. When I hold, those are stipulated, and when I hold 4 board meetings, you've correctly said, Chair, that is 2 entities. So I start at 9, I start with USAF. I push USAF, we finish around about 9 or so, then we go to USAF. And they only allow us to be paid 1 board meeting, although we've got 2 cents, because this is what Treasury is expecting us to separate these. But we only have 1 meeting. So I have meetings February, May, August, and November. For instance, there was a special board meeting. We had 2 or 3 special board meetings. There was a special board meeting on the 20th, CEO remind me, we were dealing with the DTK approvals, the SSTP approvals. Those are extraordinary. I can quickly remember another special board meeting that we had was when we were approving these APP plans. Sometime last year, we had a special board meeting when we were looking at taking the responsibility of the STPs to USAF. So we can pinpoint. So, but it's 4 meetings for most entities that's taking place on one day. But the 24 is the cumulative number for the 4 board meetings, give and take 2 additional ones. Audit committee has got 6 per annum. There is the operations committee, I call it operations, is BDS, business development services. They have 4 and so on. You know, so when you add up all these meetings, they make 4. So it's not like the board itself. I sit on this 4, I don't sit on the others, for example. It's not like we have this 24. The 24 is not meant for board meetings. Otherwise, you know, we would never have our own lives that we live outside to suffer because we have lives that we live outside to suffer. There's an important question, Honorable Chair, was raised by the Honorable Member McKenzie when he says, when you read our documents, it looks like USAF has just started. It's a new building block. May I refer honorable members to page 24 of the presentation? I hope the 24 doesn't show very well in 25, but if you start from the back, moving in, you'll see the 23, the 24. It begins to show, particularly page 25, which shows you that in 2011-2012, these were projects. This is what USAF is. The fund managers, because USAFA manages the fund. This is what they have been doing. So there has been work being done. It's just that when we came into the organization in 2012, September, end of September, we had to start dealing with stabilizing the organization, we did a lot of cleaning. It took us almost a year or even more than a year. So we're at a stage where we then came up with a strategy. I remember the first meeting I attended of the portfolio committee that year was in October 2012. One of the instructions given to us as a board was to say, go back, come back and tell us where you want to take the organization. So there is a document that speaks to indicate where the organization is going to. So this is most probably where, when we begin to translate what the organization wants to get to, it may seem at face value starting afresh. No. We're continuing with some of the things. Most probably what is the difference is the momentum, the intensity, and the approach that changes because like I said earlier, there's a reputation to protect. Some of us are certified directors. So we have to make sure that whatever we do at USASA has to be in line with what is expected, and mostly in terms of the mandate that we get. So it's unfortunate that the impression that we give is like we're starting afresh. But these 2 pages that I've just mentioned are indicating that there's a continuation. It's just that maybe emphasis
may be delayed on certain things, which is also affected by funding that we have. I thought, let me handle those two things from a board perspective. And also the fact that there was a question to a person, the Honourable Chairman, allow me, that was asked by Honourable Member Shin about the announcement of successful bidders for the set-top boxes. The CEO and the exec of operations would deal with that. When did you have a copy? Yeah, but end of March, just before the end of the financial year. Immediately thereafter, we sent out reports, because after the board decision, we then compiled a comprehensive report, which we sent out to our principals. Most probably, the city, and admit that maybe we should have called the press conference. But I didn't think we were the correct people, because we don't handle communication. But the report was sent to principals to begin to handle what was there. I'm not defending anything, but most probably they will say that I said to what I'm saying. Thank you. Thanks, Arata.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me attempt to deal with the issue of ERP. There are several enterprise resource programs or solutions in the market. Service is one of them. And SAP is one of the most preferred and the most implemented ones in most of the, in South Africa and in most of the entities that we have in the country. You also have NAP and you also have Quarka. I am at this stage not able to indicate the one that we prefer because it has not been finalized. I'm told that this room has been forecasted. If I do that, I wouldn't be putting ourselves into a critical situation. But yes, it is one of our systems. And that's the type of capability that we're looking for. The good thing about an ERP solution is that it moves you away from being a functional organization to a process-owned organization. Now, if you're a process organization, it teaches you and it forces you to plan. And it aligns, it attaches certain individuals and certain timelines to a particular function that needs to happen. It therefore makes you much more efficient than it would be. What I like about it is that it is integrated and it is real-time. And you are able to get any information on the press of the button when you have implemented this particular situation properly. And yes, a decision will be taken and then we'll start with the implementation of this particular situation, of this particular solution. It's very beneficial. One of the things that I like about it is that it got, in the finance module, it has got what we call the logistic modules, where if you order something, first and foremost, it is linked to the supply chain processes. It is linked to the budget that goes with a particular web, with a particular machine. When you order, you would order a number of set-top boxes that would be delivered at a particular warehouse. You would know the number, and you would then also be able to load them in the system. And as they are pulling them down, you are able to see that your stock levels are going down. So it helps you also with stock management, helps with budget management as well. But also, it makes accountability easier. And that's what I like about enterprise solution management, regardless of whether it's SAP, NAP, or Oracle, any of the three. In terms of the incentives that I spoke about, the model that we're using is a subsidy model where you don't find MTN or Vodacom or Cell C going to an area called Raso and upgrading the network. Otherwise, no one would have gone to these areas. And they have not gone in all the areas because it was not profitable for them to go to those areas. So part of our reason, as the ECA dictates, is to go and activate them and incentivize them for them to be able to go there. So we go to them and we say, and we use an open bidding process. We go and we say, there is an area that needs to, network needs to be upgraded. This is the work that needs to be done in this particular area. Come and tell us, how can you help us to do that? We honestly at the time have got a kitty. Based on the model, on the technical model that they are presenting, based on the technology that they are presenting, and based on the financial model that they are putting in place, in most cases, we will subsidize 70% and become 50%. That's basically what we want to do. Now, if you go to an area like Mzinga, we even went for MTN to be able to be sustainable in Mzinga. Because the department was saying that particular model is cut aside. we then had to go and talk to some of the government department in area and say, for us to upgrade this network, which we are going to benefit from anyway, why don't you consider moving over to MTS so that MTS can be sustainable? And it goes into that model and it's working. Now the nice thing about this particular model is that if you are able to upgrade MTN infrastructure, Vodacom would not want to move back. They would come. Cell phone would come. And then find that the people in that area are benefiting across all networks. It's a model that is working. So can I link this to the connectivity model that we spoke about earlier on? I have explained in house many times before, Chair, that the initial model that we use for connectivity was the lab model, where we go to a particular school and we put in 10, 20, 30, 40 computers in a school. We then migrated from that to a trolley model, where we then provide people with laptops in a trolley, but that trolley is connected, so you are able to move computers or laptops from one room to the other. We then went to a situation where we started connecting the entire school, where we put one connecting point, but anywhere within the school precinct, we are able to pick up connectivity. We then said, okay, fine, now that these things are working, let's go back and say, how about we connect to the entire area or we upgrade the entire area? Such that if we have upgraded the entire area's network, it becomes therefore easy to pick up anywhere in the street to pick up for schools. And that is the model that we are implementing together with the department. And that's the model going forward. So we upgrade the entire area, then it becomes the number of schools that we can afford at that time. Ideally, if we could be able to afford all the schools, we collect all the schools, all the clinics, all the organizations, and all the government departments in those areas. And the nice thing is that the area network has been upgraded already. And that's the model that we're talking about. Chair, I want to talk about the meetings that I referred to earlier, because I thought that I was misunderstood. The department, together with its entities, are now able to plan better because our planning is now consolidated and it is properly coordinated. We depend on each other. There is a portion in our value chain that broadband in Flaco can do. And there's a portion in the value chain of connectivity that USASA can do. Because of these meetings, we are now able to see the same. What resources do we have? What challenges do we have? What is the amount of work that needs to be done? Broadband in Flaco, you will do the following. USASA, you will do the following. It makes life easy for all of us and coordinates our work much more better than it used to be. And this is what we need much more longer. Than before. Talking about ERP, I've already spoken about the importance of EHP, GCIS update. We do have GCIS, but it's a web-based GCIS. We want a software that is in-house. But what do we use GCIS for? We use GCIS purely for planning purposes. If the department comes and says, these are the 10 schools, GIS, sorry, if the department comes and says, the Department of Basic Education and says, come, please go and collect these 10 schools, all they do is to give you the name of the schools and the coordinates. With those coordinates, I think those coordinates are put on GIS and it tells exactly where the school is. When I know where the school is, it becomes easy for me to know the type of infrastructure, the type of network that is there. So I can do my planning while in office before I can even go out. Now there's a fundamental question that we also need to address. There is no problem with us interacting with Telkom because of the network that Telkom has. There is no problem with us interacting with MTN because of the footprint that MTN has. By interacting with them, it allows us and it assists us to know where they are, what technology they have, what infrastructure they have. If we know that, it makes our life much more easier. So most of the money that we'll be giving to the consultants for them to help us with planning, this type of system helps us to do those type of things in-house. And that's why we say we need this system for us to be able to plan much better. The other thing is already spoken about in the number of meetings. Provide clarity on ERP. Research is part of our work. When we spoke about the number of people that are in Britain, at the activation of the department. The Department of Research has always been there in Sasa. People that were in the department resigned, but their positions were not filled. But it does not mean that the function itself was not important. All that we then did was we went and we are resuscitating the particular department. And instead of having four people That department has got 1%, and the amount of work that's coming from this particular 1% is remarkable. And if the department was properly capacitated, there's lots of work that we have done that we ordinarily would have gotten out and back from other people. But in terms of the research approach, we do not have an intention of going out and buying or doing our own research. We look internally first, do we have internal capacity as the department? And if there is an internal capacity, we will follow that particular capacity. But the government has got many research institutions that can do. One of the things that we are doing now is to partner with universities to use the capacity of the universities to assist us with the type of research that we want. Now, the department has got its own research, we've got our own research. The department is looking at SETA research. And we're doing different types of research than that. So it's important that we make that type of distinction. In our quest to do the work that we do, particularly around school connectivity, as the minister alluded, we interface with many provincial departments, particularly the Department of Basic Education. The Department of Basic Education comes to us and says, please come and connect with us. When we tell them that unfortunately we will not be able to do the school connectivity in their volumes, they indicate to us, hey, we've got money. Is it possible for us to take the money and put it into you so that you can do the connectivity for us? Now, when this was shared with the board encouraged by putting a target in my performance contract that go and raise 250 million rand of budget for school connectivity. Now, how am I going to raise it? It is through the strategic partnerships that we're going to be having with the different departments of education. For instance, Gauteng and Northern Province, Limpopo, approached us and said, we've got a budget that we want to give you for you to be able to go and do the school connectivity for us because we like the model that we're using. We have started engagement with the department to see how that can be done. And we have seen through the regulations and some of the practice notes that National Treasury has that it can be done. IDB has got a budget, but they do work for Department of Health, they build schools, they build hospitals, they build schools. And how they do it, the money is spent into them, they've got a separate project management unit that they have, regulated National Treasury regulations, and they do that work. So this is what the board was encouraging. It's not necessarily that I must go and raise the money. Now, in terms of the DGT subsidy, in fact, it is the other way around. Initially, there was a qualifying criteria that was agreed to by the two expert ministers of finance and communication. We are required to take the qualifying criteria for public participation, to go and tell beneficiaries that this is how government intends to roll out the set-top boxes, particularly for you people that are benefiting out of this. Out of that particular process, we had to gazette it, and we gazetted it, and we had to go to provinces. When we gazetted it, we then received submissions from interested parties and the public. We received 10 to be precise. When we also went and visited the provincial executive, the provincial cabinet, the message was clear. Go 100%. So we then consolidated the feedback and we feed the feedback back into the Department of Communication and the Department of Communication took that and they took it to government, to cabinet, and cabinet then said, yes, let's go 100%. Now when that happened, we were cognizant of the fact that obviously with the resources that we have, we will not be able to fund it. And obviously there's only one source of funding that we have. It is treasury. And that is why after that we then to do a deficit calculation and hand the overthrow to the department. Now, the DG, on receipt of this information, communicated with the DG of communication and said, now that the function is with you, you must raise this deficit. And that's where the process is now. So in terms of the criteria for beneficiaries, there is a criteria. One, you must be a South African with a valid ID number. Two, you must earn less than 2,200 within the bracket of fixed data earning less than 2,200. The initial number in 2008 was 5.2 million. This is what the budget was based on. The National Household Survey that came out in 2013 showed a figure, an increased figure, from 5.2 to 6.1 million. We finalized now interrogating the databases from the PASA that shows us the needy households, that shows us the indigenous fees in all the provinces. And it is coming up to a number of 8 million. So we're sitting now with a number of 8 million people that needs to be subsidized. Now you can imagine what it does to the budget. It takes the budget and it throws that budget completely out. Around the manager, an HR manager who has been suspended, unfortunately I'm unable to go into the details of the disciplinary process, but the comfort is that the disciplinary process has been completed. We are waiting for a sanction. We're waiting for the decision made. For the verdict has come out. And the verdict is supporting our allegation to the particular person, and we're just waiting for the sentencing from the deciding officer. I will ask Mokoto to speak about the standards, the SMME localization, and the data centers. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Well, if I may, just before I get to that, I think there are a few things that were raised by Honorable Chilin that we didn't deal with. The one was the question around the ERP versus 196 million in the treasury letter. That's by way of explaining. When we got this allocation, or the indication that we would get the allocation in November of last year, we went about assessing what needed to be in place to facilitate the delivery of the DCT, and the board considered that, made approvals, we went out on tender. One of the biggest critical components in there was planning of where, in addition to the ERP, in addition to other things, but also project management capacity. Now, what this recent clarification has done is to say, all of that you had planned for, you need to shelve. You can only use this money for capital distribution and for the ERP that you've been requesting. So we have a risk, an exposure risk, because the whole intention of the project management functionality was so that when installations happen, there are people on the ground that can verify so that we can pay on the back of verifications. So that's where it leaves us. But in that 196 million, what we're grateful for is that the ERP is in place, which will help the administration, but we still have a verification issue that we're going to need to deal with or plan around. You then had a question around E-rate. The question, I believe, was whether even with the E-rate, we're unable to get more schools connected. That's in fact the case. We have a fair number of schools, around 63 or so schools that we were trying to offload this year. They have come to the end of the 24 months, and the Department of Education has said they can't take them over. So you literally have to decide whether you offload them and they go into evacuee, or you continue, and you can't avoid a situation where you can't allow them that access. So we are now forced to continue assisting them until such time that we can get funding allocation. But if I can give you an idea of the kind of money that you need, if, for example, you were paying 700 rand a school, and therefore at E rate you would be paying 350 rand a school, for 24,000 schools, you're going to need in the order of 100 million a year just to connect. I'm not talking about infrastructure. Just to be able to get them and keep them connected onto the internet. So, and if you look at the funding, our funding over the last couple of years, it's been declining. So we're really in a tight spot. We're doing the best we can. And this again brings me to another question that was raised today. Why would you not... I forgot how the question was formulated, but essentially it was saying why would you not connect more than five schools that we had indicated in there? Those are the five schools that on a whole basis we know we can afford. So we're banking on squeezing our service providers to get more in the same way that we've squeezed them to get more in this financial year. But assuming that you can't squeeze them at all,
that's what we can afford to do. So it's risky to amend it, because you're amending on the basis of perception, and you don't have actual concrete fact that you can be able to achieve far more than that. And actually what that does then is that it highlights the risk that we have, that we go into an area and we don't connect every institution that needs to be connected. So you create that disparity that the chair was referring to in the earlier session, where some schools had and some schools don't. And we saw it in Singa, where some schools had and some schools didn't, and they were complaining. We're a little hamstrung in that respect. It's a financial issue more than anything. On the question of the DTP, there was a question around the impact of the policy decision on the tender. Where we sit as SASA, there is no impact, in the sense that if you look at the terms of reference, we went out asking for a view on encryption and a view on not encryption. So all the bidders that were putting forward submitting bids gave us that perspective. And we did it deliberately, because if we had excluded one and the decision was against what we had put in there, we would have had to restart, and there would have been fruitless expenditure. So we were careful to make sure that the scenarios that we are dealing with are mentioned in the tender and people can respond to those. Then the question of picking which one we go with as to the policy resolution is then covered. We also included in that process a BAFO process, a death and final offer process. And that is really a consequence of a Treasury instruction note that governs the appointment of panel service providers, wherein each and every time you go in to brief the accredited panel of service providers, you are required to provide a verification and a confirmation of pricing and of capacity. So that's why the tender, when you look at it, was actually designed to assess capacity and experience to deliver. That is why you could put out the specification without necessarily having the standard approved. Because there is a standard, because there are boxes in the market. It just wasn't the particular standard for this particular initiative. And so I mentioned before when we had the debriefing, to run the tender, to adjudicate on the tender, you need a specification. And there was a specification. To allocate, you need the standard. On the question of localization, this is quite a heated debate, but the DECA has been very clear about the threshold for around FTBs and their strategies and so on and so forth. And those thresholds were brought through into the tender as well. So there were points of adjudication, of evaluation and adjudication in the tender process, and that has been covered. We've also agreed to work much closer with the DPI, in particular with their regulatory compliance entity, compliance to localization within across sectors. So they will be coming on board with this to also monitor that that the localization that has been claimed is indeed there, but that it's also maintained throughout the lifetime of the project as well. I think that on the question of just focusing on connectivity, that's been covered. The last one here that you had was around the telecentres and the relevance thereof. I think that it's safe to say we share the same sentiments. In an environment where you're upgrading networks and you're focusing on geographic coverage as opposed to population coverage, ostensibly a telecentre becomes obsolete in a manner of speaking. However, until such time that we have the funds to assist to get those networks up and running, you still have a need, a little necessity for need for telecentres, which is why we have had to keep them and had to maintain and continue to upgrade the infrastructure there. I think Honourable Shin had a question around the formulation of targets, the GGT targets. Treasury requires you to map your ABP with respect to what is allocated in the financial year.
So the targets that are, that 4.3 relates to the funds that are allocated for 2015-16, which is 180 odd million thereabouts. That is why on the presentation slide you'll note we made a note to say we have a kitty of over a billion, which is effective a cumulative saving from or rollovers from previous prior years. So we have to detail it in the manner that we're required to plan, but we know for a fact because we've got funds sitting from prior years that this is actually larger than what is stipulated in the target functionality. It's 4.3% of the 5.2 million. That's what we can do with the 180. Yes, that's correct, yes.
So we are done with this question. So we're actually moving to it.
The question is on the
I was just something I was looking into and I was thinking maybe there was an issue honorable question raised around the allocation. There was an issue when I don't know if you answered Marcus, the issue of localization. How are you dealing with it? And on transformation, that was raised. And I don't think it has been true. You want to clarify your issue?
It's also about the percentage set aside for women and people with disabilities. And so the focus most of the time is about creating employment for those people who are disadvantaged, but they really care about ownership. So all the issues of transformation.
The question is within this process, was there specific targeted transformational agenda? That's just to put it. Honorable Shin, yours was on the agenda. I thought Honorable, the chairperson of the board answered.
I need to interrogate that answer because we have two conflicting new status rules out there right now, so it has or hasn't been issued. And I think we'd like clarity on it.
In her response, she said that they have issued. But then that's what she said they couldn't do was a press briefing. I thought I understood that. She said that they do not deem necessary to do a press briefing, but they have to, because part of the issue is that the communication, allocation, and everything has been given, even if you look in the proposal, I think that's what that looks like. It's on the DOC. Now, they have done their part, and what they have done is to do a report, and I think you use the word principals, to do reports to the principals, meaning in the principal's management, the report will go to Minister Toilet as the direct line accounting, and to the minister responsible for the project, which is Minister Mutambi. Maybe let's start from that context so that we get what you are raising.
Can I please have an answer from a minister then? Whether the story that was published in Business Day last week is correct, that 20 bidders have been chosen, and that there are, seven companies going to be doing aerials and 15 going to be doing set-top boxes, some of them overlap. If that story is correct, and if so, why hasn't that news been formally announced? If the story is not correct, is the story in IT Web correct, which talks about the fact that the process hasn't been decided, that SASA is busy with another survey along the lines of what Winston Young did. So we actually need clarity on where it is. Has it been awarded? If so, to whom has it been awarded? And can we have the details, please?
I don't think it must bind me as the chairperson of the board, who's still in that board, that took that decision, is here. You want to ask this? Okay.
I don't read these data. The other members still have yes, I don't read them. So don't force me to read them. I don't read Tesla, I don't read those things. What I rely upon is what I'm informed by the department. The ministers do not allocate tenders. Yes. I don't announce the allocation of tenders. I don't announce the... Yes. The chairperson is correct. That all what I said earlier on, we only get brief whether the process is, what processes are followed and whether the processes are okay. That's the report which I have. The information which I know is that there was a strict process and they can come and brief you once they finalize the processes and so on, the instruction. There's a strict process. As you know, we have got the terrestrial boxes, the satellite boxes, terrestrial. I know that there's been decisions. The question is, we should always be worried, are we inclusive? Is there transformation? I don't deal with names. I'm not going to give you those names.
That's why I was trying to clarify that at times your question is directed to the wrong person, because if you USASA here, that's why I wanted USASA to assist, because the board chairperson is here, the CEO is here, and they can clarify that. And I think ministers have clarified his role in the process, and I think it's correct so that there's no assumption that he's involved in the process. At times somebody may leave the room thinking that this is his role, and that's why I allowed him to. Okay, thanks. CEO.
Indeed, after a very protected adjudication process by NSNR, the board on the 30th or 31st of May, March approved a total of 20 service providers broken in the following way. For the DTT antennas, 4 service providers. For the DTH antennas, 3 service providers. For the DTT set-top boxes, 8 service providers. And for the DTH set-top boxes, 5 service providers. The process was inclusive. This list of approved service providers was placed from the day after the board meeting on the USASA website. It was placed on the USASA website. We checked it even this morning, Chair. Now, because of the backlog of the Easter holiday, we sent it out that it be gazetted. I suppose it was not gazetted last week because of the panel. But if it was not gazetted then last week, it will be gazetted this week. We have informed all the service providers, Jay, by means of letters. We are in the stage of agreeing or finalizing negotiations on the prices with them. And as soon as the prices are finalized, contracts will be issued on all the service providers. Thank you, Jay. The issue of localization, as Makoto indicated earlier on, there was a greater emphasis by DTI on the issue of localization on this particular tender, which came up very, very, very strongly. And that is why you see another element of a lift bigger than the one that no matter that you would expect one. But secondly, we were very emphatic and we were very strong that we want, in terms of the set-top box development strategy, we want to ensure that we assist with the expansion of the manufacturing capacity in South Africa. And in doing so, particular emphasis was also put on people disadvantaged communities. So that is why you see a list, one of the reasons why you see this list, there was particular emphasis. There may not necessarily be a emphasis on people with disability, but if you look at people that are owners of those companies, there certainly is good black representation.
We can also share engagement if you can get your audit to the ticket.
Oh, the TT. I hope it's not on TT. Oh.
Just one small addition. The issue of TTT has been designated by GTI. Center Box has been designated by GTI for local manufacturing. And in terms of the designation CO, it has also stipulated in terms of the components, the percentages. So how you sometimes deal with the matter is as per how GTI has prescribed it. So I'm not sure if you sort of may have a lot of flexibility, but they have to comply with what GTI itself has pronounced on.
I'm going to ask we running way out of time, that you take 5 minutes break, and then we start with the Nemesa.